Mr. Last week, we're just beginning to analyze the fight between the Shah and the Silla. It is the bottom of Chatzalah from the Aleph. To the Torah of the Brice, it says that according to Bishamai, one is not allowed to sell chametz for goy close to Pesach, because the chametz may not be eaten. No, everybody knows the goy is being eaten before this man, that's right. So the chametz is still going to be attacked. That's a problem. They still said, I've never heard such a thing. They still said, the tetragram are no problem. What exactly is the issue? So Rashi on the spot said that there's some kind of a Shalva Deraisa thing in place here. And according to Bishamai, this would be a violation of Tashbisu. This would be a really not a fulfillment of Tashbisu. Tashbisu is the connotation of completely becoming totally out of this world. And according to apparently Beisil, that wouldn't be such a serious problem. So we left off with the question, what exactly is there included to Machoik between Bishamai? So Bishamai was telling us some kind of a Chiddush of love of Deraisa. The Tashbisu means an action, and the action means destruction. We weren't quite sure what Nakuda Beis Hillel disagreed with. We threw out 3-4 different possibilities last week. That's one of the last of the possibilities I want to pick up on beginning of today's year. So we offered the possibility that maybe the reason why...
According to Beit Shammai.
According
to Beit Shammai, actually, until you know that it's going to be destroyed. But if you had to physically destroy it, why should you be allowed to sell it to a guy? Because... you know that you should have to destroy it. You shouldn't be able to sell to a guy even if you, just on the basis of your knowledge that he's going to destroy
it. So you mean, are you saying that you're not trusting the guy's doing it?
What gives you the right to trust him? If you have a mitzvah to destroy, then...
Okay. Of course, he's asking a realistic question, namely, how do you know, practically speaking, that this tashbisu is going to happen?
Why are you allowed to rely on that?
Okay. I mean, the Lashon HaGemara is, the Sham is giving you a day of Oshiach Le, which makes it sound almost like, not that the boy's calling you up and saying, by the way, I ate it, but I'm washing meeting him. I'm handing the box of cookies to Mr. Brown, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and he's eating breakfast in front of me. That's what's out there. Like, give me a day. So, fuck yeah, I'm strengthening your collection. You have to mamish now. I thought you were asking a different one. I thought you were asking me, if there's really a mitzvah tashbisa, and there's really a maisa, so how can the guy's eating it be my maisa of tashbisa? I thought that's what you were asking. So if you're asking that, then I'm not going
to answer. I wasn't asking that.
I'm not going to answer that. But I think that the lashon in your day really literally means
and he's eating it now, but sure that before the Shas tashbisa.
Yeah. So we suggested the very initial this week, that maybe the reason why Bisillo disagree with Beshar is because they fundamentally have a different way of viewing the mitzvah Tashbisa. We pointed out that the Chachira, the famous Chachira, the Tashbisa is a mitzvah almost like not doing Malach and Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's a mitzvah saseh that's fulfilled v'shei v'al ta'aseh. By not doing something, that's the mitzvah. We know is the mitzvah Tashbisa really an active mitzvah such as shofar, lul of sukh, etc. So maybe that was in the Kudus of Achoy with Beshar. So we going to Beshamai, the nature of the mitzvah is a maisa, and therefore, and the maisa is physical destruction. And don't end up making sure that happens, so it's mevatel mitzvah tashbisu. And the reason why Beis Hillel disagree is because they say, well, at the end of the day, I don't have chametz in Pesach. What's the difference how I don't have the chametz in Pesach? At the end of the day, I don't have it. I can fulfill the my mitzvah, b'sheva ta'as, because the whole essence of the mitzvah is that when the zman of Pesach comes, whenever the zman of tashbisu comes, I am in a state of being mushpas b'chametz, and that's fine, it doesn't really matter how I got to that point. If that is in fact the Nakudas of Machlokes, this would have very, very real nachkaminas ladinim. We'll throw out one question. I think at the very end of the shaking after the recording is over, as people are walking out, somebody asked me the shaila. So we'll throw out the following question. What if you have an individual who doesn't like all that much chametz during the year? He's gluten free. He's not into eating chametz all year long. And it comes to our Pesach and it starts to feel really bad. You know, everybody else is making fires and burning their chametz, and he has nothing to do. So, does it make any sense? Should listen to this. You should go to the store and buy a loaf of bread, go buy a bagel, buy a slice of pizza, to throw it into the fire in order to quote unquote fulfill the mitzvah tashbisu. Does that make any sense or not? So comes in the chassidich and says, depends on the shayla. If you hold that the nature of the mitzvah is that as long as Pesach comes and you don't own chametz, you fulfill the mitzvah as much as the next guy. Is there ultimately any difference between the person on Shabbos, the one guy who's standing, you know, he's standing over his car and looking, I'm not going to drive the car, I'm not going to drive the car, I'm not going to drive the car, or the guy who's sleeping in bed and not driving the car. Is there any difference? No difference. Shabbos. What's the difference if the nature of the mitzvah is in not having chametz? What's the difference whether you've never had chametz in a long, or whether you had chametz and you threw it into the fire? At the end of the day, the mitzvah is the same. It's the same Shabbos. But if you hold that the nature of the mitzvah is an asay, it's some kind of a kum asay, it's almost like Mishalah's version of the mitzvah, so maybe we would argue that would be the right thing to do. That would be almost tantamount to telling a person, buy a four-cornered beggar in order to be Yitzitzis. That would be the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael to be Mafreshim and Isis. So even though right now I don't have any chametz, but the right thing to do, the correct thing to do, is to put yourself into a situation of Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So in the nature of Mitzvah Tashbitzu is Bekum Vasei, that would be a whole different ballgame, a whole different way of viewing what's supposed to be done on Erev Pesach. So they're just taking this Beshan Bezil one step further, assuming that we're correct in what we're saying, that this is really, really part of this discussion between the line between Beshan Bezil. This may touch on some of the things that we spoke about in the past 2 weeks about Tashbitzu. Just a highlight, a little bit of chazar, although it was good. Just a little bit of chazar about some of the things we've been touching upon. Where it may be important to know whether the nature of the mitzvah of Tashbisu is Sheva Ta'aseh, or the nature of the mitzvah is Kumasa. So who remembers last week the round about Berg Alpha Gimel? Berg Alpha Gimel. We did a couple of rounds last week. The round tells us that under normal circumstances, one does not receive malchus for the violation of Ayurveda Matze. Why was that? What was the Rambam's reason? Why do you, generally speaking, not get malchus by Ayurveda Matze?
It's a lav shema maise.
And what was the corollary of that statement of the Rambam? The Rambam posits this idea that, generally speaking, 9 out of 10 times it's violated without a maise, and therefore it's a lav shema maise. But, says the Rambam, because the one guy who goes ahead and violates by Ayurveda Matze, the maise, he's going to be chai malchus, and the Rambam even gives you two illustrations. One was the person who makes the chametz and Pesach. He makes the dough and Pesach. The other is the guy who buys the chametz and Pesach. I remember a fellow once told me that by mistake he took his kids to the zoo on Chol Pesach, and he puts a quarter into the machine, and he buys the animal feed in the children's zoo. And then he realized that it was chametz gomor, and he figured out he was the one who was zoichet to get malchus by Rabbi Matzi. It was kind of chametz and Pesach. So it comes around and says, as a general rule, there's no malchus because it's lashem ma'aseh. But every once in a while, you can do anything ma'aseh. So comes everybody, and I mean everybody, from the Mishnah Melech to the Tayyid to the Chesedim across the board. Wait a second, why are you chayav malchus for bayir ravei ma'aseh? Even in the one in the crazy cases when you do anything ma'aseh, there should be a whole other reason why you should be chayav malchus. Who knows? What's the other reason? It's a lav hanitach liyaseh. The Rambam in the end of the Sefer Brachos tell us that whenever you violate a lav, and the Torah itself gives you a way to patch up the lav, fix up the lav, then you never chayav malchus. The moshel, if I steal, it's terrible available, sigzel, then you're not chayav malchus. You know why? Because the Torah says, if you stole, so fix it up, patch it up, make it up, make sure that the zel shekhoz off. So there's a principle called lav hanitach liyaseh ein lekit alav. Yes, the achreinim. No, what should be the kasha? What's the kasha in the Rambam? No, it's kasha in the Rambam.
How could you ever be?
How could you ever be malchus on by Rabbi Motze? Forget about lav shem b'maisa. The Rambam's draining us with lav shem b'maisa. Yeah, no, maybe so. Yes, definitely. There's a better reason. There's an all-encompassing reason why there's no malchus. It's a lav nitachli asay. What's the nitachli asay to what? Of tashbisu. The Torah says, don't own the chometz, and if you do, get rid of it. So why isn't everybody Rabbi Motze a lav nitachli asay? What in the world is the Rambam talking about? What is the Rambam only remove the Chiyah Malchus because of the technicality of Hashem HaMais, which is not all-inclusive? Paperweight, there's much greater reason to have it than last thing. No? Who's going to answer that?
Tashbis was removed
beforehand. Well, you're not by Yomotzei, can we all have that? Oh, so Dan is getting into some technical issues in terms of the principles of Lavin et Leyesei, Lavshe Kidme Yesei, Lavshe Achre Yesei, should get back at the end of the third round of the set of Malchus. You may be right, but maybe you should. I'm going to ask you a funny question. The guy comes first Erev Hashanah and he does Mavocha. So they're about to give him Malchus. He says, no, you can't give me Malchus. It's a lot of it that Leah say. Now I'm Mechutz, you're in the midst of Shabbosah. Yosef making a face. It's Madna. Something's Madna. What's Madna? A lot of things Madna about it. Tell me one thing.
Unrelated.
What?
It's unrelated.
It's not related. It's the same Yantif.
It's not related. It's not Nita Glase. Doesn't get rid of your
losasay that you've done. But the mice of the Torah is telling me to now do something.
But you'd have to give a new carbon for the if you do something afterwards.
Too late.
Asay has to be a reaction to the lav. So, like Zela, the reaction to the Aveira is the Heshev is Zela. So, here by Chametz, is the Tashbis a reaction to having Chametz, or is it?
Of course, definitely emphasizing one Nakuda of Lapidus Leasei. I'm thinking about almost the same thing, but this was one word that I'm looking for.
It's dependent.
Oh, good word, for example. Yes. So let's take a model, a classic model of it. I steal something, and then the Torah says, okay, you stole. Here's what to do to fix it. What was the key word?
Fix
it.
No. Here's what to
do.
Here's what to do. Do something about it. You did it, do something about it. Fix it up. A lot of it, technically, essay, by its very definition, requires that it be an essay. The whole concept of a nitikli essay is totally irrelevant by Shabbos or Yontif, because by its very definition, it's not a maaser. It's not saying, well, you goofed, you blew it, you did malach, go fix it, go do something. Don't do what? Sit back and twiddle your thumbs and don't do anything. That's not called a lot of nitikli essay. So for the purposes of minyan hamitzvahs, of ramach hamitzvahs essay of the Torah, a lav shem is called a mitzvahs essay. But for the sugyas of lav nitikli essay, it's not called a mitzvahs essay. It's not nitik to do anything. You don't accomplish anything. So comes the Chassidich and says, maybe that's the deal. That's why when the Rambam says that it is possible that there is malchus for Bayi Rav Emotzei, whether or not there is only depends upon Lash and Bamaisa. It has nothing to do with Nitak Liasei, because you can't possibly call Tashbisu a Nitak Liasei. The very nature of Tashbisu is such that it's not Nitak Liasei. So according to what we're suggesting, I'm putting this whole picture together, this whole Shtickl Torah is that what is Tashbisu? Maybe a machlekes that predated Mechas Chinuch by 2,000 years. Maybe that's part of the machlekes Bishan Bisil that's playing out. The place is one list of kutzah.
Why isn't that necessary that's going to help us?
Because it's not a ma'isa. For the sugis of lav nitikli essay.
Because you could do it by vittel?
No, you don't do it. There's nothing to do.
You
have to get rid of the chametz. No, but you have to get rid of the chametz to avoid violating my Rav Emotzei. That's a whole lav nitikli essay. Maybe it would be. Maybe it would be a strange bachelor to the Shabbos. What the nature of Tashbisu is, what impact on the Shadow Bombs. Maybe you have that. So we have one list of Kuta that's relevant to some of these we spoke on last week. Before we go on, really to the main thrust of Esau. You saw Shirai from last week. When we introduced the Mitzvah Tashbisu, maybe 2 weeks ago, so we pointed out that everything revolves around the phrase Ach Biyom Rishon, and Ach means Chatzos. Just one small technicality. What was the small technicality? We're not quite sure what happens with Chatzos. Does the Mitzvah Tashbisu precede Chatzos? Does the Mitzvah Tashbisu follow Chatzos? It's not like Rashi says. Rashi and Rambam hold that Tashbisu begins before Chatzos. Chatzos says the Mitzvah is after Chatzos. Comes in Chas Chinuch Mitzvah test and says, it's not really a Machlokes. It is Machlokes, not really. Says Mechas Chinuch, everybody agrees that the mitzvah is not really before Chatzos. The Tashbisu before Chatzos is like Kishav Nefesh. It's like Vatz Adar Pesach. The mitzvah is not until Chatzos. Achra Rishav is the Zman of the mitzvah. So what's Rashi and Rambam talking about? What does Rashi say you got to do everything before Chatzos? What does Rambam say do everything before Chatzos? This is Mechas Chinuch. Because Rashi and Rambam hold that the nature of the mitzvah of Tashbisu is the Shev Al-Basa. Namely, when the clock strikes 12, the Torah is expecting you to be in the state of no longer owning chametz. That is the mitzvah. So when 12 o'clock comes, when chatzos comes, whether I'm sleeping, whether I'm crying the mechareses, whether I don't know what I'm doing, when the clock strikes 12 in the Pesach, I have to be free of chametz. That is the mitzvah of Teshbisi. Memeva. Since the mitzvah is kuyemes ayidei sheva basa, when do I have to practically do all the hachadas for Tashbisu? before, you can't wait till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what Rashi says, you got to get rid of it before Chatzos. Everything has to precede Chatzos, not because the Zman HaMitzvah is before Chatzos. The Zman HaMitzvah, the Kuyam is Chatzos. The reason why Rashi and Rav insist on doing the Achanas before is because the very essence of the mitzvah is Mukuyemes, which fulfilled Dafka B'Sheva Tase. Unlike Tosfos, who says, no, doing it before Chatzos, that's the Kuyam Mishal, even the Sukkah of Sukkis. You have to wait till the Zman HaMitzvah comes, and then you do the Maisa Mitzvah after the Zman HaMitzvah has arrived. You don't proceed, you don't do the Maisa Mitzvah before the Zman HaMitzvah. So what Rachas Chinuch just did is he took this Hakir of his, about Sheva Tassim, as Kuvah say, and made it to a Machloikis of Yishayim. But that age of Machloikis, about when the Zman HaMitzvah is not really a Machloikis. Everyone agrees to when the Zman HaMitzvah is. The real Machloikis is not about the Zman HaMitzvah. The real Machloikis is about the Mahusa HaMitzvah, the very essence of Dara
HaMitzvah. That would mean Tosos is according to the Shabbat.
But, okay, so this is all assuming that all these things are Tolis at the Zay. I mean, we the Machloikis Chakira stands on its own. We try to plug it into Bishabi Zahal. Chaskirich is trying to plug it into Machloikis Rashi and Tosos. Everyone take the same Chakira, take the Chakira and run with it, wherever you want, this is a good Chakira to have. So we saw already many, many, many possible applications of this Chakira. We had potentially relevant to Machloikis Bisham Yisrael. We had potentially as a beer with the Shittas around him, why he refuses to view by Rabbi Mazi as a lavin to say. We saw this as a possibility as part of the story of the Machloikis Rashi and Tosos in terms of his Zman HaMitzvah. A lot of things can be flying around in terms of this basic fundamental question, what is the very essence of Tosos? Rabbi Mazi, that was all last week. We'll get back to episode. So I wouldn't call it a Hechsher Mitzvah. I would say that you have to do certain things to make sure that when Tashbisu rolls around, you're in the state of being Mushbos. I would call it that. But I wouldn't call it Hechsher Mitzvah. Hechsher Mitzvah means I have to build a Sukkah. It means there's nothing, there is no Mitzvah in the Sukkah. Maybe it's an example of Hechsher Mitzvah. But let's take one of this out. That's pure Hechsher Mitzvah. Here, the Mitzvah is to be Mushbos and Chometz, which from a Mela requires me to do certain things.
If you're going to Tosfos, you do it after Chatzos. So,
after Chatzos, you're not on Chametz. So,
what happens to the few seconds between 12 and 5 seconds?
Very good. So, probably Tosfos L'Shitasam. The Tosfos holds that as long as you're owning the Chametz with the intention of getting rid of it, that's not Yibayi Ramas. It's probably Tosfos L'Shitasam. So, let's go back to the Gemara. Back to Chavaloch Manal. Two lines at the bottom. The sign of Bishami Omen. So Bishami once again says that you're not allowed to sell this chametz unless you know what knowing means. Pretty much for certain, you know that the chametz is gone before Pesach. The Gemara never explained the reason for Bishami. Rashi got the whole ball rolling. Everything we said for the last 15 minutes today and the last 20 minutes of the shiur last week was all revolving around Rashi Shita, that the issue involved here is a tashbisu issue. Rabbi Shami is worried about the Shpisa, and for whatever reason, Basil is not as concerned about the Shpisa, whatever the reason is. Rabbi say, who's going to tell me which Rishonim cannot possibly learn the Gemara based on the Shpisa? The Shpisa is not the Rishonim. Before Chatzos, Tashbisu is not even on the radar screen. What is Tashbisu? I'm not bechayim in Tashbisu yet. According to Rashi, Lashitasa, back from the first year 2 weeks ago, I'm bechayim in Tashbisu already before Pesach. Whether 30 days before, or an hour before, a year before, I don't know when, but the Zman HaMitzvah Tashbisu is pre-Chatzos, whatever that means. That the Torah already holds me accountable pre-Chatzos to worry about Tashbisu. So the other Bishami makes some sense. You want to agree with it, you want to disagree with it, but at least we can begin to start the sugya. The Bali Atoitzis, who back in the Dalit said that it's lo nitan leheomer, it's impossible to say there's a Tashmisu for Chatzos. So what's Bishami talking about? So the answer is that according to Tosfos, that's not the issue. We've been learning the wrong sugya. We've been spending an hour, the last week of this week, talking about Tashmisu within Bishami Beisil. That's not the sugya. And that's exactly what the Chiddush Aran says on the top, on the spot. The Chiddush Aran writes that this has nothing to do with Tashbisu. This is hours and days and weeks before Tashbisu even began. What's the issue? Says the Chiddush Aran, I'll tell you a secret. This is not even a deraisa dikasugyit. This is a dirabonin dikasugyit. You know what the dirabonin is? Beishalai frowns upon the practice of selling chametz to a goy before Pesach. You know why? Because Beishalai were worried that it doesn't look right. You know why it doesn't look right? Shema lo yimkarenu b'leib shalom. From left field, it is a dirabonin, we're afraid lest you're not serious about the sale. Now, would anybody think that there's something fishy about such a sale or a Pesach, you know, to Mr. Brown, we're selling him $10 million worth of chametz? Would anybody throw into question the validity of such a sale? The Shami says, yeah, we don't like it. It doesn't look right. If the goy is going to finish it before Pesach, all right, it's a big deal, so there won't be anybody over there anyway. But if you're going to sell it to the goy before Pesach, and the chametz is going to be sitting in his house on Pesach, it almost smacks of such a serious haram, such a serious circumventing, that we're not even sure that the person was genuine in what he did. And therefore, mid the rabbanim of the Chiddush Aran, you're not allowed to do it. But the Chiddush Aran just did is he took the sugya that we thought was some deraisa, and you're saying you say this and hakiras and maisalach, and he says, forget the deraisas. It's not a deraisa question altogether, because I hold like Taisvis, that the mitzvah isn't until after chatzais. It's a dirabonin to be concerned. And what was Beisilah's response to Beishalai? Mm-hmm. If Beishalai's shtickle Torah wasn't so lumpish in the first place, Beisilah's response also wasn't too lumpish. What's their response? Nah, it's okay. It doesn't look too bad. We think we can trust the guy to sell it. That's like taking a big balloon. According to Chiddush Aran, which has to say this, Taisa has to say something like this, Machalik Beishalai is not so important. It's not so late, it's not so fundamental, not so longish.
What was the timing issue with this? Was in the
Balai? It's too early. There's no Tashvisi.
There's no Tashvisi when?
Before Chatzos.
This is Bisham is talking about before.
Of course. After Zman Isser, then it's over. You can't sell it after Zman Isser. It's all about before Chatzos. So, by side, let's take the Sugya and continue. So we have two different versions in the Rishonim. What is the Machalik B'Shamah Zil? Is it a device to the Sugi or a Derabon to the Sugi? So we sell the Sugi's with the Lomim, Koshosh, with the Lechem, with the Lechem. Then at the very top of the following days, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir comes almost out of left field. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, Oymer, Kusach, V'chol Mine Kusach, also Limkosh Shloshim Yom Kerem L'Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says that there are certain kinds of food, Rabbi Maseir says, there are certain kinds of food called Kusach, which just to acquaint ourselves with the recipe for Kusach. The Gemara says later on in Pesachim, it's made out of three delicious ingredients, if I remember.
Stale moldy bread,
sour milk, and salt. Okay, it's some kind of a cross between a spoiled yogurt and pretzels that have gone off, whatever it is. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's some kind of a dip, some kind of exotic dip that was common in the day of the Chazal. So if you remember, Sefer says, that you're not allowed to sell 30 days before Pesach. So we have no idea what Rabbi Rebbe Sefer is talking about. We have no idea Manishtan and no pun intended this Kusa from any other Chametz. And we have no idea where the number 30 days all of a sudden entered into the scene. So Rabbi Rebbe Sefer's Shita is very, very difficult just to face back and anything was going on. But before we understand what Rabbi Rebbe Sefer was even beginning to say, it strikes us that Rabbi Rebbe Sefer is at the end of the Machloikis B'Shamis Hillel. Is he from the B'Shamis team or B'Shamis team? Which side is he on in this sugya? What's going on? So we don't, the Chlal don't understand Rabbi Meseira. We don't understand Manishtana Kusa. We don't understand where the number 30 days comes. So we have no idea how he fits into Bishan Besilo. So Rashi comes to the rescue immediately. Rashi says, even the top of Chavala for a base. Rashi says, Svilu ke Bishamai. So the first thing first, Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira says, you can't sell Kusa, he's a Bishamai person. You should just know that. And then he goes on. V'zeinu necho maher, so says Rashi, it's a practical concern now. Normally, B'Shamai are pretty comfortable with selling. I'm going to sell Mr. Brown pizza a few days before. So, even according to Korah's standards, it's probably going to be done. It's certainly going to be done. Kusach, you never know. You sell the guy 2 weeks before Pesach. Kusach? Kusach is a dip. It takes forever to go through the dip. So, Kusach is too dangerous to sell to the guy. So therefore, a beautiful Beseira who subscribes to Shita's Bishamai, therefore says, don't sell the Kusach. So Rabbi Beseira is not really adding any lumdus at this point. He's saying, I'm a Bishamai person. He's just adding mitzias. He's saying, we're a Bishamai, we sell pizza to the goyim before Pesach, Kusach you can't sell. But one thing is crystal clear, says Rashi, Rabbi Beseira is a Bishamai person. And now Rashi continues. Where did the Shloshim Yom come from? Says Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was not a machmir, he was a tremendous maker. Because he did imply that if you want to sell the kusach before 30 days, that's okay. But the kusach's still going to be around. We have no idea what it takes to go to eat the kusach. So Beshami says that's okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that's okay. You know why? Before 30 days, there's no mitzvah of beer. What does that mean, there's no mitzvah of beer? What does Rashi mean when he's saying beer? According to Rashi, what's the magic word of the whole sugya? There's no tashbisu. Rashi just gave you a tchilas man of tashbisu. All we know from Rashi's sheet is around the Masechta is that tashbisu was sometime before Chatzos. We've never seen a tchilas man yet. We had a rush that said, hours before, we didn't know what to do with that rush. But now we have a Rashi that says the Femolei. You know what the tchilas man of tashbisu is? 30 days before Pesach. This is a deraisa de gedin, because remember, according to Rashi, this is a deraisa de gesugya. We're spending a lot of time in the yeshiva in the world of Bishami right now, but it's opening up the rise in terms of the nature of mitzvah tashbisu. So Rashi tells us about the chiddush that even Bishama you held as a mitzvah deraisa tashbisu, and tashbisu means total destruction, eradication of the chametz, and therefore kusach is a disaster. To sell a kusach to a goyish chashmisan is a mamshah, different mitzvah deraisa. But to sell the kusach to the goy chalikatan, even though I know full well that kusach will be around for another 6 months, the loch akli, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that's okay. You know why? Because lochal of chayvus beer, there is no tashbisu yet. And now Rashi, of course, is boiled with akasha. How do I know that? Where did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira figure it out from? So comes Rashi and gives you the end of the sugya. Mishishaylin vachas haPesach. Because everybody knows back in the Bavim, the brothers are from Sukkim, that 30 days before Pesach, you have to learn Hilchos Pesach. Before that, you don't have to learn Hilchos Pesach. And therefore, it's not just a coincidence that 30 days before you have to learn Hilchos Pesach. That's the source of why is it that the Torah says you have to learn Shlosh and Mekadosh at Pesach. Because that's where all the mitzvahs HaYoyi begin. Right now, I don't know about Pesach. It's a little bachti about Pesach. Pesach's not coming this year. I have no idea about Pesach. When your wife says to you, don't bring chametz down to the basement in the middle of November because Pesach is coming, tell her she's wrong. Don't ever say what's wrong, but just to Ayin Rashi, the Chabal from this. It's the fourth Shlosh in Yom. Now the Shomu Beres, that extra month, don't bother me now about Pesach. How many things did Rashi just tell us? So Rashi answered all the questions on Rabbi Ramesera. He told us, he put Rabbi Ramesera right smack into Bishamah's kingdom. He explained to us what the concern was. It's a deraisa that he concerned. And he explained to us the cool of Shlosh Yom Yahim, because there's no Tashbisu. And to add on, for good luck, Rashi said, how do you know there's no Chiyuv of Tashbisu for Shlosh Yom Yahim? Because that's when the cutoff point starts for the Shalom of the Pesach. Well, that's a Rashi. All within Rabbi Rabbi Seir, we don't pass it like. All within Beishah, we don't pass it like. Rashi gave us a whole explanation, a whole Shiyuv Loli, within the sheet of Rabbi Rabbi Seir. Let's analyze the Rashi just a little bit. Rashi told us that on the love of the Raisa, the mitzvah Tashbisu is basically Chal. Chal of Chavis Bir, which we're translating to mean Tashbisu, 30 days before, because there's a mitzvah being shown Vachas HaPesach Shloshim Yom before. So I'll tell you a secret. There's a Machlokes HaRishonim about what do those words mean, Sholim Vachas HaPesach Shloshim Yom Kered B'chai. We usually think what that means is, 30 days before Pesach, you gotta start learning the dinim, everyone's gotta start opening Mishnah Berurah Chelukei, your rabbis gotta start saying Shulman Pesachim. That's what we usually associate, you know, the buzz of Pesach beginning Shlosh Yom Kered B'chag. But there's another pshat in the Rishonim. You know what Shlosh Yom Kered B'chag, Shol Nuchas Pesach means? It doesn't mean that you have to be Shol Nuchas Pesach. The Rishonim would say, what Shol Nuchas Pesach means is, if a person chooses to ask a question, Hilchos Pesach, 30 days before Pesach, it's an appropriate question. It has to be treated appropriately. What does it mean? I'm saying a shiur now, I'm a seventh psachim. If somebody can raise their hand now and say, Rabbi, I have a question to ask you about Bav Metzia, I have a right to say a shalokah inyan. That's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. It's supposed to be shalokah inyan. A guy asks me a question off the topic, I'm allowed to say, I'm sorry, you're a shalokah inyan, I'm not mechuyav to answer you. I can go back and say shiur. But what if, there's a bad example of the Shiva Psachim, let's say I'd be saying Shiva Sanhedrin in the Yeshiva, and somebody asks me a question about Psachim right now, if I'm saying Shiva Sanhedrin, a guy raises his hand and says, Rabbi, how do I bake matzahs? I can tell him in the middle of November that Shalosh Lach Inyan off to answer him. But if it's within 30 days before Pesach and he has to do Rabbi Kimatz, they have to answer him, because that's called the Shulk Inyan, because it's Inyan of the Yoga. That's a concept in Halacha, called the Shulk Inyan and Shul Shulk Inyan. So come a group of Rishonim and say, when the Gemara says that you have to be Shoyal, Luchas Pesach, Shlesh Yom, it doesn't really mean to be Shoyal, it doesn't mean you're really Mechuyuf to. It just means that you can. If you do, it's meaningful. You're not Mechuyuf to. Which way do you think Rashi holds? Rashi's telling you that there's a din min haTorah that's defining the tchivas nara tashbizu based on the halacha of shom because of basic shloshim yom. I followed the first one. You can tell me Rashi holds the second one. The second one means you don't have to do it. The Torah doesn't even care. The Rashi couldn't kill us when you're learning Pesachim of a Metziah 2 days before Pesach. It just means that for the one guy who asks the question, we don't throw him out of shiur. We'll answer his question. That's a machayeg with a mitzvah sayoi? That's a kevei of a din d'araisa of tashbisu. Are you joking? To be kevei of a din d'araisa of tashbisu based on the din of holding shalom b'chus ha-pesach only makes sense if you hold the shalom b'chus ha-pesach is an act of din. It's what the Torah wants you to do. The Torah wants you to talk about b'chus ha-pesach shloshim yom because that's when the chodesh ha-yom begins. So this is a mouthful that Rashi is saying. This is the Chiddush Gadol that Rashi is saying. Rashi is connecting on a level of the Araisa, because the Sugya is the Araisa to the Sugya, according to Rashi. On a level of the Araisa, Sholem's Dorish B'chaz HaPesach is significant, and that's what kicks off the bits of Tashvisa.
Why would it be any difference than any Shir, a Shir of Fates, a Gazayat, of Emolim, of Love, in any Isur that you, over the Isur by having a certain Shir? All Rashi's been Megaleh, is that sheer in a time instead of a, you know, physical...
But Rashi's telling you the source. Rashi's asking a question. Where did the sheer come from? So Rashi linked this sugya. It says Shloshim Yom, he linked it back to the Vav.
Because it's a sheer like any sheer like on any Esau.
But if you're going to tell me that there's nothing significant about 30 days, there's no chiva 30 days. The day after Purim, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to learn Ruchas Pesach the day after Purim. According to here after Rishon, there's no chiva for learn Ruchas Pesach after Purim. If there's no chiva for learn Ruchas Pesach, so you tell me... That's the source for the din d'araisa that the bitzvah tashbisu starts. That's the source for the shir. Such a weak sashvach source. So I think this Rashi makes a lot more sense if you assume that shol means kapshuto. Imamish must be shol. Just as an aside, you know what led some to say that shol doesn't mean that you're mechuyifto? The pashta dvarim is, of course, you're mechuyifto. The pashta alosh and shol looks the face of means you're supposed to, not if you do, so if you won't throw you out of shir. That's the pashta dvarim. You know why some were opposed to that pshat? Because the Gemara says that you're supposed to learn Pesach on Pesach. Sholem b'chus Pesach. The Gemara says that Veitam b'chus Pesach Hashem. The Kansh lomdu b'chus Pesach on Pesach. So some ask the question: if you already mechuyif to learn 30 days before, what's the chiddush of learning on Pesach itself? It seems to indicate that the chiyuv is only on Yontif itself. The 30 days before is a reshus. 30 days before means if you do it, so it's not considered to be inappropriate. That's the Raya. So the Mishnah Berurah has an interesting dichy of that Raya. The Mishnah Berurah, very beginning of the Pesach writes that, no, it's not a Raya, he says. He says, the din of Shol and Bukhaz HaPesach is a real chiyuv. It's a chayvas HaTzibur. Namely, the Rabbanim have to provide shiurim before Pesach. Shol and Bukhaz HaPesach, Shloshim Yom. It doesn't mean anybody has to come to the shiur. There's no chiyuv on the Balbatim to come to the shiur. The chiyuv only starts on Yantav itself. And Yantav, that everybody has a chavis a yochid to learn Hilchus Pesach or Pesach. But the shiur has to be made available for the island. Means as a tzibur, we have to start rangitan Hilchus Pesach 30 days before. But each yochid and yochid doesn't have to come. I don't like the publicize that Mishnah Berurah. It doesn't bode well for the Pesach shiur. But basically, getting back to that story. So this whole Mahalach of Rashi, Rashi saw this all within the world of Rav Yudah ben Beseira. This is, of course, Rashi L'Shitasa. Let's plug in now the other approach in the Rishon. What about according to Shittas of Tosfos? What did Tosfos say again? What did Tosfos say? Tosfos could not have learned Rashi's pshat. They must have learned that it's some kind of a derabbanan problem of what? Of like the Sharan said, guys have to sell it with Lake Sholem. One of those kinds of very, very watered down chashashas derabbanan. So now what should we remember say we're talking about? In the context of the Shammai Beisilol's machlokes about a din d'rabbanan of should you or should you not sell chametz pre-Pesach, Rabbi Beisera comes up with this new idea saying, oh, by the way, it's a kusach, so it's off limits. So So one thing I can tell you for certain, according to Tosfos and Chiddush Aran, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beisseiver's statement is not a what? It's not on the level of a
deraisa,
because there's no deraisa here on the page. So if Beisham is Hillel with Pukla and the Rabbanan, obviously Rabbi Yehuda the end of the Raisa is also talking on the level of the Rabbanan. So there's some kind of initiative the Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda ben Beisseiver is addressing specifically to Kusach. And we don't know what it is. What is it? What vanished? What's going on with Kusach? So it comes tight on the page and solves the problem. The Rabbi Yehuda asi kebeis Hillel, va'asa bekusach, mishum deshem ba'al of alav, v'yedim shukusach shaploini, v'yis b'shemach v'peis chadei nochri. Maybe some other chashash. What did Taisa just say? So one thing I can tell you for sure, it's not a deraisa, it's a derabanan. What's the derabanan? What was Rabbi Yehuda worried about? Everybody knows this is Cohen's Kusach. This is Levi's Kusach. It's the famous Kusach. It's Shem Ba'alav Olav. I have no idea what that means. I never saw Kusach. Never tasted Kusach. It's Shem Ba'alav Olav. And therefore, there's some kind of a derabbanan problem here. Lest if somebody sees a guy walking around on Pesach munching away on Sobolovsky's Kusach, he's going to think Sobolovsky sold him the Kusach on Pesach, which would be terrible, because that would be like the Nana from Chavis and Pesach, that would be a no-no. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was bothered with. And I'll tell you secrets of Rabbi Natan, who's the source of this chat. That chashash of Rabbi Yehuda may be true, may cross party lines. May be true not only according to who? To Bisham, but may just as true according to Basila. Because that has nothing to do with the original Machlok, Bisham Basila. The original Machlok's Bisham Yisrael was about one kind of a derabbanan, namely, should we make a gzera derabbanan lest the guy doesn't sell it like Shalom? Bisham says, let's make the gzera. Bisham says, nah, nothing to worry about. And the sugya ends. Then Rabbi Yehuda ben Beisseiver has another, oh, by the way, I have another chashash derabbanan, irrespective of what you hold about the first chashash derabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, don't sell Kusach before Pesach, because Kusach is Shema Yalav, and therefore, people may think that I sold to him on Pesach, and that could be true, that chashash, that could certainly be true, even according to Beis Hillel. So it comes out, we have a running machlokes that's permeating the entire sugya. From the tchilas ha-sugya we have so far, what are we talking about? What is this issue that the Tanaim are fighting about? Is it a deraistic issue? Is it a derabonitic issue? If it's a deraistic issue, then the deraistic issue is tashbisu. If it's a tashbisu issue, the Rebbe Seira must be part of the Beshamitim. If it's not Tashbisu, it's a derabbanitic issue, so then Rabbi Yehuda ben Beisseiver is free to be falling back into Beis Hillel's camp as well. So that's the fundamental issue. Machlokes Rashi on the one hand against the Balei Tais and the Chiddush on the other hand, is this a deraistic or a derabbanitic issue? What was the ultimate source of that? What was the ultimate shitosai of that machlokes? Where did the machlokes emanate? It's a throwback all the way back to Avdal and Beis. Because Rashi, who was the believer that Tashbisu could be Prichatzos, was willing to put a Tashbisu spin on the sugya. Tosfos, who didn't believe in Tashbisu Prichatzos, couldn't possibly have learned that way, had to go down the route of the Rabbanans. Once you're down the route of the Rabbanans, everybody may say, maybe a whole different ballgame. So you have two radically different approaches in the sugya. Deraisa versus the Rabbanan, Tashbisu versus some kind of other quasi-Gezeras. Where does the Rabbanan fit into the picture, etc.? Two very, very different approaches in the sugya.
According to Tosfos, then why does Rabbi Yehuda say 30 days? Shouldn't it be the Oyer?
Oh, very good. Excellent. You answered me.
Apparently, it's but then the only thing it's yours within 30 days? Like, if I sell it to you, then...
You tell me. The same reason that Rashi says. I don't have to think about Pesach. Pesach is not my problem. But it's much softer for the Benetam. You know why? Because it's not a diaristic issue. Does that mean when the Chachamim made this gezeira, they said, listen, it's not on your radar screen right now. Don't worry about Pesach in 6 months from now. According to Rashi, it was a deraistic issue of 30 days, which forced us to go back to the source of Shlosh Yom Kar B'chai, Shlom Ruchsa Pesach, to explain how that serves as a deraistic issue. What is that? It's not a deraistic issue. The whole thing is deraistic.
According to
Kashita,
that holds it as deraistic, what about, it's only for Pesach, what about Shalom Nidoshim, Bilus, Chag,
the Gemara only asked by Pesach, so some of the Rishonim have the Yom Tov also, and others disagree.
So points to all that it's back by the Yom Tov also, they will also hold after the Raisa.
Yeah, I think so. I think those who say that it's a real din would say it's better the Yom Tov also.
So according to Rashi, so it's 30 days, because before 30 days, there's no mitzvah teshvi, so you can just get rid of your chametz, it's another way. But according to Tosfos, people are still going to know it's Kohen's. Who cares if there's no...
No, that's what you answered Abi. Look at Abi. The people will know, but it's not my problem now.
Well, why not?
I don't have to ask any shalos on Pesach right now. Yeah, but now it's November. I can sell it now. I see your problem. Pesach, we'll worry about Pesach. It's only your bun anyway, so... So everybody say, so we set up the sugya, the two different approaches of the Shabbat. But now we have to take the sugya to a whole new level. Let's go back to the cookbooks, back to the recipes. What was kusach again? It was some moldy bread and some salt and some milk. You can't eat that for Pesach. It doesn't sound too good for Pesach time, right? So the Gemara actually, the beginning of the third Pesach was at kusach. Calls kusach a very, very specific type of chametz. Kusach is one of the examples, kuschabatli, that's called ta'aroives chametz. It's not called chametz mamish. The Gemara, beginning of the third breath of Tzachim, develops two different principles about chametz. There's chametz mamish, and then there's ta'aroives chametz. Chametz mamish is a slice of bread. Ta'aroives chametz is a whole mixture of stuff, which has some chametz in it, some other ingredients, a lot of other things all mixed together. That's called ta'aroives chametz. Now, it's beyond the scope right now to talk about what the ratio of chametz to all the other ingredients are. It's a big, big machlokes from the Gemara and the Rishonim. But suffice it to say, chametz is goma be'en, so to speak, it's not. Something just emanated from this sugya, according to Rashi. Critical significance. There is a machlokes in the Gemara at the beginning of the third breath of Pesachim. Is there really an issur d'oraisa that even eat ta'aroves chametz on Pesach? Because the Torah speaks about eating chametz. How do you know ta'aroves chametz? So Gemara quotes machlokes, and we pass like that a Tana that says you cannot eat ta'aroves chametz min ha'Torah on Pesach. You know why? Because it says one magic word, kol. Kol machmetzes osachelu, kol the rabbis ta'aroves chametz. That's how we pass. No shabbat and issur d'oraisa. Can't eat ta'aroves chametz on Pesach. What great chiddush just emanated from Rashi and Absalom? Oh, not only are you not allowed to eat chametz of ta'aroves chametz on Pesach, which is what the Gemara says in the third verse, you're not allowed to own it either. You have to get rid of it. There's a mitzvah tashbisa on it. Now, some people may be thinking, okay, well, we can't eat it, so it's tashbisa. That's okay. So it's clear as day, according to Rashi, that this kusach that we're talking about is asur to be owned on Pesach. You're mechuyev to get rid of it. It's dino kechametz vis-a-vis tashbisu, and by extension vis-a-vis rovei motzei. It has all the trimmings of chametz, even though it's technically not chametz gomor. That's clear from Rashi. What about from Tosfos? I have absolutely no idea what the answer is. Do you know why? The sugya is not even talking about tashbisu. So I have no idea what we're trying to say. Is there tashbisu? Or against it is not. Is there about say? I have no idea. I don't know enough information yet to answer that question. But according to Rashi, I have all the information in front of me. From Bishamashi, from Avira Ben Maseir, who was an extension of Bishamah, I just learned that a Din D'Oraisa. So just in case you thought, hey, we spent too much time on Bishamah, I was just Medayik a Din D'Oraisa that Taroi's Chametz is subject to Tashbisa. And I also told you that I'm not so sure what Tosfos would say about that. I don't have the information from him. Now let's take a look and see. Are we right? Are we just observed or not? It's the beginning of the third chapter. No. Rabbi Yisera is just speaking within the Shama. We happen not to accept Rabbi Yisera. We're accept the Shama. Those are pure technical grounds. We're not arguing on his placing Kusav into that category of Tashbisa by Rabbi. So comes the very first mission in the year of the third Perek HaMasechet Shachar. Comes the first mission in the year of the third Perek. The angel over in the Pesach. The following things are over in the Pesach. I have a big problem because I have no idea how to translate that word over in the Pesach. Remember, Kusach HaBavli. The first thing on our list. Kusach HaBavli. Right? No Babylonian Kusach. The Gemara spells out the recipe as we mentioned before. So Kusach of Bavli is one of those things which are over in the Pesach. What in the world does over mean? It's a Gashia, the spot on the Mishnah. Ve'elu Ovrin? Ovrin is Miloshan Aveira. Ovrin Alein Bebaye Ravai Motze. So Rashi, Kusach of Bavli, even though it's Tarovis comments, it's not the real McCoy. Guess what, says Rashi? You're over Ravai Motze on it. Which Tosafot says on the spot, and that's in the days of Bidal. Ve'elu Ovrin Bebesach. Pirshakut is lavra len by Rav Motze. Skip down a little bit. The Einur le Rav Benadam. Benadam says it's not true. You know why it's not true? Skip down a little bit further. We launch to the end of the Tosis. The Einur le Rav Benadam. The Elu over in Beirush Paoichlin the over in Haynu Me'al Hashulchan. The lavra in Nechol Nino. You know what over means? The Elu over in. These are the things that should be removed on Pesach. Get them off the table because you shouldn't be eating them. Of a bayrol, like there's no bayrol in Motzei. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Taich of the Mishnah word of Ovrin. Does Ovrin conjure up the image of bayrol in Motzei? It's Rashi Shita. What does Ovrin mean? No, don't eat it. Bayrol in Motzei, but there's no bayrol in Motzei. Lo and behold, this is like the day of the Shitosos. We're back to Nachafal. This Rashi and Dachavala, because she crossed out in Dachman Beis. It's only because Rashi and Dachman Beis typed up the word Be'el over him to refer to by Rabbi Matze, to be defined as by Rabbi Matze, that Rashi was free to learn Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira as a violation of Tashbisu, not within the fact that we're only talking about the Rebbe, it's not the real Makor. The Bali Abtais, this one, Dachman Beis and Aleph, for whatever reason we don't know yet, or the Tam, representing Shita Zatosis, that there is no better Rabbi Matze and the Rebbe's comments. So Rabbi Tam, he went back at the Chafal and says, hey, wait a second, I can't learn Rashi's Pshat. Rashi's Pshat that the issue is Tashbisu, so the Rabbi Matze makes no sense. So therefore it was Rabbi Tam and Shita Zatosis. Remember who Tosis quote? He quoted from the Rish, Shama B'Shem, Rabbi Tam said, there's no way in the world that Rabbi Matze is talking about by Rabbi Matze and Tashbisu. Forget it, this is not even in the parashah by Rabbi Matzah. This is Rabbi Shlomo, it's not Chometz Gomo. And therefore, Rabbi Tam was forced to revamp the entire sugya. So how many Lashitasim do we have? 4 or 5 different Lashitasim. There was a running mechlek is permeating the first 42 blad of the Sefer Pesachim. The Rashi tells us, what is going on here? Rashi holds that the issue is, in Meshach Mezillel, is a Tashbisu derives the issue. Rashi Lashitasim, Rabbi Abdalin, that Tashbisu exists before Chatzos. Rashi, therefore, was able to learn that Rabbi Ben Maseira was also a Tashbisu issue, even though he was talking about Kusah, which is only to Rav's comments, Lashitos on Daf Mem Beis, that there is Rabbi Matze, and Tashbisu on Rav's comments. Tosfos, who went back in the Dal held that Tashbisu does not exist before Chatzos, therefore, how to learn Beshameh Basil in an entirely different manner, and therefore, how to learn Rabbi Ben Maseira in an entirely different manner. Which is good for Tosfos because that saved on the days, because Rabbi Tam and Shitasa held, there is no Bar Rabbi Matze on Tarevus Chometz. So we have from Dalim to Chafalim to Medes, two fundamentally different approaches, Migdeli Rishon Rashi against Tosfos, Rabbi Tam, Tarevus Chometz. What is flying in all these sugyas? One theme permeating the entire first 22 parts of the Sefer Pesachim. This is the introduction. Now we have the what. We succeeded in identifying the what. Now we have to identify the why. Now we have to ask ourselves, why should or should there not be by Rabbi Matze on Tarevus Chometz? Because at the end of the day, that's going to be the pivotal question. All the other pieces of the puzzle that fall into place, assuming we answer that question correctly. Why should there, or why should there should not be? So let's start with the basics. I mentioned before there's a special pasuk that tells me that you're not allowed to eat Tarevus Chometz on Pesach. Kol Machmetz, it's called Rabbah's Tarevus Chometz. What's the implication of that statement of Chazal? Zeres HaKosov, you can't eat Tarevus Chometz. What's the implication? Without the Zeres HaKosov, what would the din have been? It would have been perfectly okay. You know why? Because that's not Chometz. Chametz means this piece of bread. Chametz means a slice of pizza. Chametz does not mean some kind of a dip with a little bit of bread and other stuff all mixed together. And again, leaving out the details, what ratio is not relevant for us. But our baseline is that Torah's Chametz is really mutter. What can I do? Torah says you can't eat it. No, what's that to do? Name that hakir.
What do you expand that? Whether you say, okay, now that the Xeris custom's there, so you learn out all the implications of humming, so now it's a fight for all.
What? You gave one side of Hakir. One side of Hakir is the baseline was, the starting point was, that it's one percent of humming. And when the Torah says you can't eat it, so Yishlach or Yishlodun, what's the nature that Xeris custom? Is the nature that Xeris custom is, you thought it's not humming? Guess what? I got good news for you, bad news for you. You were wrong. It is chametz. The Torah is behind this. It's also chametz. You thought, in your mistaken understanding, you thought chametz is a slice of pizza? No, there's more than chametz that meets the eye. A dip with some bread inside, mushed up with spoiled milk and salt, is also called the shem chametz on it. That's exactly what the Havim and exactly what the Skol is. You were wrong. It is called chametz. Or, what's the other way of learning the exercise about it?
It's just right there. It's
you were 100% right that it wasn't chametz, and it's still not chametz. And you know what the Torah says? You still can't eat it on Pesach. It's like what chametz? You're right. It's called kol. The innocent derives to be kol machmetzes. So what's the nature of this xeris kosm of kol? Is the xeris kosm of machmetzes teaching me that the entire hamin was off base and it is dinah chametz? Well, no, it's not dinah chametz. It's also it's an issur of the atzmai of eating derives chametz. If you hold that the chnisha Torah is called that it's called chametz, it's tishbisa, it's bayronimus, it works. If you hold it's exerce a cost, it's a dibbe from the atzmai, you can't eat it, I can't eat chazer also, but there's no bayronimus on it, I can't eat nevel either, there's no tishbisa on that. So what is the nature of that word called? That's the real question. Take a look now back at the Texas about the Beza. Hail our new Beza. That would be all the parts we see. Pisha could just lab all in by Rabbi Motze. We got revolved with Dr. Glosh of Ivram, the Master of Ivram and the Ilam. They knew that Rabbi Tam. Rabbi Tam is about to disagree with Rashi. The Mashma, the Chol Hanach Marbina, and the Kol Machmetzes was a Chaylu. Anything that's included from the Kol Machmetzes. We are filled with a Chilu, I have a Chayev. Ilav the Rav Yikra. If not for the Chiddush HaTorah, it would have been Mutter B'Yachila. Well, Mehecha Tesei by Rabbi Motze. If it would have been Mutter B'Yachila, so it's not called Chometz. So Mehecha Tesei, why should he even dream a million years? Just by Rabbi Motze. Would Rashi respond back to his grandson? Yeah, you're 100% right about it. I'm free. Kol Mechmetz, let's take it. But now post Kol Mechmetz, let's take it. That's exactly what the Chiddush HaTorah is. So that's what the Zayd and the grandson are fighting out. This Rebbe Rashi and the Tam are fighting out. What is the nature of this Gzeres HaKosov? And at the end of the day, this is going to impact on back in the Chachamah, this is what's ultimately making this whole sugya connected. All the pieces of the puzzle are now revolving around this fundamental Chakira. No? So what's the answer? Who's right? Rashi and the Tam? That's my question to pose.
According to Rebbe Natan, why is Chametz different than any other Machalos Asuros? Every Machalos Asuros poses the same situation. If you have a Taraitis, the Torah gives you guidelines.
I try to stay away from that question of, hey, wait a second, what's the ratio of this? Is the ratio of Tarobas the same as Tarobas Isser? Or is there something new going on here? It's very complicated. We'll get to the third part. If we want to make the third part.
I'm just reacting to Rebbe Natan says, if I didn't have this Xeris HaKosov, I would say it was Mut.
Tom's right. If not for Xeris HaKosov, it would be Mut. That thing was the favorite. So you want to bring a Raya, you see from here that the ratio of Chometz here is below what the ratio would have been in Kol Torah Kula.
What I was
if
saying was.
If it would have been the same, then when
it must be. It must be like Rashi, because. If the only purpose was to Aser B'Achila, I would rely on the guidelines from Achalos Asura. So Torah must be telling me more than that.
No, it's clear from the Gemara. According to the Talmud, says that it doesn't touch your call. It's not that it doesn't touch your call. It's not that it doesn't touch your call.
So you see that it's more chomer than the ground that's called Tarakula. That's the Rabban's kasha on the ground. In the sugya of Tam Ki'ikar and Tarav Tzchametz, what's the difference of Suglad between Tam Ki'ikar called Tarakula and Tarav Tzchametz? Yeah, I gotta stay with you. Rabbi said, who's right? What would be a good litmus test to prove one way or the other? Is it chomer or is it not chomer? Well, what about the Bachoikas? We want to bring a.
What's the Onish?
That'd be a good place to look. What's the Onish? If it's Kares, so that would be a pretty good dead giveaway. That's Chametz. If it's not Kares, that seems to be a pretty good giveaway that it's not Chametz. Kares should be the litmus test. So the problem is, the Gemara of the Feirish later on that it's not Kares. Gemara says, take a look at Dr. Gimel Amud Aleph. The first one is Hamitzri. Good word for Tzachar. It's about 10 lines up from the bottom. Yochol Yehei Anish Kareis. I would think that Yechai of Kareis for eating Tarevis Chametz. Tamud Loima Kikol Ochol Chametz Vinichrasa. Al Chametz Dob and Gomor Anish Kareis Vele Ruva Belav. Gezeres HaKosov. That you're not chayav kares for eating tarevus chametz. No? Who's going to tell me now? Where do you go with that? Sounds like it's a no-brainer. You're not chayav kares. No?
If it wasn't for the gezeres kasev, you
would. Oh, so Steve comes back to Shittos and says, yeah, the exact opposite. If not for the gezeres kasev, that you're not chayav kares, you should be chayav kares. Why?
It's chametz.
Because it's called chametz. To which, what would the others respond? That's exactly what the Gzeres HaKosov teaches you. That's Tagarach Kol Chametz. So when all the dust settles, we have two Gzeres HaKosovs. The starting point was it's Hetter Gomer to eat. That was the start. Before I opened the Parshas Bo, before I did anything about Tagarach Kol Chametz, the starting point was I can eat it. I can take the goose from the Yom Pesach. I have one person that says, no, you can't, because Tomach Metzes. And another person says, well, if you do, you're Nechayev Malchut HaKaris. So where do you go with that information? So Rashi said, the flow of the Gzeres HaKosovs are like this. According to Rashi, the real flow is, once the Torah says, call the Rabbis, the Rabbis, Chametz, so it becomes Dinukim Chametz. And Dinukim is the whole Dini of Torah by Rabbi Matzah, the Shmisa, the works, Onish Kares, everything. And by the way, now there's a quirk of the Zeres HaKosov, even though it's Kares, even though it's Chametz, there's no Kares. That's a Rashi learns. That's when the dust settles for the Rashi. It's Chametz, the whole, the Kul Kresah, with the exception of Kares. According to Metam, from the mere fact that you're not Chayav Kares, that's the Raya Brewer Shin Lashuv. That's the limit. That's the proof positive that it's not really Chametz. It never really was Chametz. Why can't you eat it? No, that's the way it is. It's called the Chametz. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees you can't eat it. And everybody agrees you're not Chayav Kares. So who cares whether you call it Chametz or not? I care. Where does Baruch Hashem say? Where does Tashbis say? That's the Machlokes Rashi Ben Tam. And that Machlokes Rashi Ben Tam sets us up for Daf Chaval. Because Rashi the Shittos and learned Rebbe the Sefer only in that way because he had his eyes in Daf Mem Beis. For a minute of time, learned Rebbe the Sefer and Misham is still a totally different way because he had his eyes on his way of learning Daf Mem Beis. So we have to leave with one question. How in the world could we try to prove who's right? We have exhausted all the sugyas of Pesachim about this time. We've come to the conclusion that you can't eat it. We've come to the conclusion there's no kares. We've come to the conclusion that B'chayis Rashi B'na Tam is the Bar Rotsi HaTashmisu. We know everything we have to know about the Pesach part of the Sugya. Where else could we possibly look to ascertain whether Tarevis Chametz is yes called Chametz or not really called Chametz?
Is it vital? Is it vital? I don't mean vital to be vital or Chametz, but...
That's, I'm leaving the ratios. And I have to add the ratio numbers because that's going to throw us off.
Aya
says, well, let's look at his brachas, because you want to look at other areas of halachas, right? I don't know if you're right, that you want to go to other areas of halachas, I don't think I'm going to go to brachas. If I wanted a test case to see whether something's chametz or not, and I finish Maseches Pesachim, where would I go?
Kachin.
There's risk. You're going to learn kachin, you're going to learn menachas. Because there are many, many, many places in Maseches Menachas that whether something is chametz or not is very important. Just to throw out a few. Is it issa d'oraisa to bake a mincha? Chametz. Is it mitzvah d'oraisa when you bring shtei lechem, it has to be chametz. There's a mitzvah deraisa when we bring lach mitoida, someone has to be chametz. The term chametz becomes very, very important in Maseches Menachos. Hopefully, we'll mention next week. We have a little question next week to see. Shut up, Lila. Give me the idea of the top brush.